In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase, "He needs to be put in his place"? What emotions well up in you when you hear the sentence, "She was put in her place"? There's kind of an embarrassment, a shame, but it's also balanced with like ego and annoyance. It's a strange intersection, isn't it? It usually comes up with someone in your family or usually the same person in your family all the time. Or it's someone in your community or someone at your workplace, some new employee at your workplace. I don't know, it might even be a cocky young quarterback. Who knows? But it's somebody that we think has over... It's somebody that we think has stepped up and claimed something that we don't think they're entitled to, right? They've claimed a skill, or they've claimed an authority, or they've claimed power and prestige that we don't think they earned. And so we say, they need to be knocked down a notch or two. They need to be put in their place. There's a flip side to it, though, isn't there? If we tell ourselves the truth, there's an ego piece for us. Anytime we feel that way about someone else, what we're also saying is that we think something is being taken from us or taken from someone else that we think is more deserving, or it's undoing the way the world is supposed to be, the way it's been firmly established. Honestly, we think they're taking something from us, right? They're uppity, they're arrogant, they're rude, and don't they understand that that power, that prestige, that authority belongs to someone else? No, it belongs to me. Just who do they think they are, we want to say. Because there's only so much power, prestige, and authority to go around, right? So it needs to be in its proper place. We need to put them, him, her, in their place. Heck, it's even true with the animal kingdom. I've got, our boys went off to college and we could tolerate the quiet in our house for 2 whole weeks. And so we went and got a puppy to ramp up the volume again in our house. Well, we have this beautiful, wonderful 9-year-old coon dog who is the nicest animal God ever made. And now that there's a puppy in the house, she is a neurotic mess. Why? She'll go out just for a moment, and then when you open the door to let them in, she bolts to her pillow. It's her throne. She wants to make sure that this new, up-and-coming, arrogant little thing is not going to displace her from her proper place as queen of the house. So it's a brainstem thing, isn't it? I mean, it goes way down. It is part of who we are, this sort of weighing and measuring and judging and deciding who should be where and judging others and wanting desperately to put them in their place so everything is back the way it's supposed to be. But maybe what it reveals is there's something deep inside of each of us that is actually really hungry to be put in our place. Not to be embarrassed, not to be had any violence done against us, but we all desperately want to know where we belong. Where do I fit? Where do I fit into this system? You know, whether we're going into the third grade, it's the first day of school, or we're going into a new junior high school or a new high school, or we're just going off to college and we're meeting our new friends, or we just started a new job. Where do I fit? Or we've been working a long time in the same place, and now the new folks are coming out of school and they're coming into the job, and are they going to take what's mine? Do I still fit? Or we're on the edge of our retirement. Say, do I still have a place? Do I still matter? Where do I fit in this? I need to be put in my place. And we said, that way, it's not really such a bad thing, is it? At least if we think about it. I mean, we even do it in the church. My brother-in-law, Jim, who's a Baptist pastor in Virginia, 3 or 4 years ago, got to go to the installation of an Episcopal bishop. And he had never done that before. And he was impressed. Well, of course he was impressed, because when Episcopalians install bishops, we put on the dog. It was a big deal. And so he wrote in a blog about it, and he described how it was. He said it was beautiful and majestic and huge, and they invested this man with all of the power and authority that comes with his position, and then they promptly put him in his place. They didn't embarrass him or shame him. They processed him up the aisle and set him in a chair and said, "You are now installed. You have been put in a stall. This is where you belong. This is your place. And we want you to sit there, and we want you to rule with kindness and clarity and morality. And we want you to lead us, and we want you to stay right there. Thank you very much, because now we can keep our eye on you. We know where you are." We all want to know our place, don't we? Where do we fit? As I thought about this week, I actually think this may be at the core of all the arguments, fusses, wars, and hostility in the world. Desperately trying to find our place, desperately trying to either grab or be given what we think is ours by right. Where do I fit? Interestingly, the gospel lessons for this Sunday and last, kind of come to our rescue on this conversation. It's really interesting that these two stories are literally back to back in the Bible, because they seem to be so utterly unrelated. If you remember last week's gospel lesson, Jesus was angry. Jesus had turned on his heels and he had put the leaders in their place. He had been talking about power and prestige, and how if you want to be honored, if you want people to look at you, well, then pretend to be humble. And then it's almost like a bait and switch. He had them going, "Oh, okay, if I follow this guy, you know, that's how you get some of your power and prestige, right? Just depending on who you're standing next to, right?" So, ooh, Jesus, he's up and coming. I'm going to jump on his bandwagon. And as soon as he gets them to come along, he spins on his heels and he says, "Who do you think you are? You think all this stuff matters? You think the fact that you were born into this tribe, or this is your last name, or this culture has decided that you're all that in a bag of chips, means nothing?" In fact, he says, if you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister, if you don't even hate your own life, all of this stuff, all of this external stuff by which you decide that you have value, there is no place for you in the kingdom. You want to be in the kingdom? Come on in. But get over yourself. We've got work to do. And right next to it, the very next story, it's as if Jesus turns from this confrontation and then goes to lunch. And he goes to lunch with sinners and tax collectors. And the people who are standing behind him, the ones he has just confronted, the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who are entitled to their authority, look at him and say, "Who does he think he is? Do you see who he's eating with? Does he not know we don't fraternize with those people? We don't hang out with sinners and tax collectors." Surely Jesus can almost hear that over his shoulder. And now he looks at the people he's having lunch with. A whole group of people who have been told since the day they were born they just didn't quite measure up. They weren't quite worthy. You're the outsiders. Your name's not the right name. You're not part of the right tribe. You're not part of the right religion. You got the wrong kind of job. You're not in. And he looks at them and he says, "Have you ever heard of a shepherd who upon losing a sheep, wouldn't leave the 99 behind and go after the one that was lost? What about a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one, a whole day's wage? She lights a lamp, starts sweeping the floor, looking for that one. And when they find the sheep or the coin, they celebrate because what was lost was found. Come on in. Don't listen to them. Because you have a place in the kingdom of God. So get over yourself and come on in. We've got work to do. Isn't that amazing? That on both sides of this, both the ones that one group wants to put in their place and the other that is sick and tired of being put in their place are both told, you have a seat in the kingdom of God. Get over all of this and come on in. I can tell you as a pastor, for now almost 25 years, countless pastoral conversations that I've had with couldn't tell you how many people, it seems that very often I find myself talking out of both sides of my mouth, and they are in the same context as these two stories. On the one hand, I cannot tell you how many people I've sat with in my study and in living rooms and coffee shops and pubs and back porches and gone through cases of Kleenex with lovely, beautiful people who have been told their whole lives, you just don't quite measure up. You're just not quite tall enough or small enough or wide enough or big enough or smart enough or pretty enough or handsome enough or talented enough or good at whatever. Desperately looking for where they fit in. Where's my spot? And all there is to say is that despite all what your mama told you or your daddy told you or whoever it is that told you that you didn't quite measure up, Jesus says, there's a place for you here. We have a place in the kingdom of God for you. You belong in the kingdom. You have a seat right here. Don't listen to them. God loves you. You are the one sheep. You are the one coin. You are the pearl of great price. John 3:16 is not just letters between field goals. God loves you so much. He gave his son for you. Don't you know how important you are? We have a place for you in the kingdom, and you need to be in this kingdom, and we've got work to do. So get over yourself and come on in. Then a huge amount of the rest of my time pastorally is spent sitting at the same tables, same living rooms, backyards, pubs, and coffee shops, listening to people who are afraid and angry and threatened by the world that we live in, threatened that what they think is theirs by right is going to be taken from them. Incredibly enraged. Who do these people think they are? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know how it's supposed to be? And in response to that, I find myself wanting to say, no, who do you think you are? Who made you the center of the universe? Who told you the sun revolves around your heart? All that stuff that you care about, all that power and the material possessions and the power and the prestige and the authority and the position in community means nothing in the kingdom of God. Regardless of what you were told, you are not the center of the universe. So get over yourself and get to work because you have a place in the kingdom of God. This is your spot. This is where you belong. It's the same sentence, isn't it? We just come at this from different angles. We either feel like we're out or we feel like we're about to be. Jesus says, your place is here in the kingdom of God. Forget all that other stuff. So who do you think you are? Jesus says, you are beloved. You are the one lost sheep. You are the one coin. You are the pearl of great price. You are the lost son, and God is waiting every day, looking over the horizon, for you to come home. Because your place is here. You belong. You are a part of the kingdom of God. So get over yourself. We got stuff to do. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.